to be in Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 14 to 16, a familiar passage. If you've been around church at all, you've probably heard similar concepts. And remember where we are in this series. First, we started talking about the connection to each other because of our connection to Christ, so the body of Christ, the church. Then we said we're connected to people in history and not just to the people that are right in front of us. And that really just kept us thinking, like, what do we need to learn from those in history? What have they made it through? What have they accomplished? What have they weathered? How have they trusted God? And you look back at history and you just hear amazing stories of God's grace to his people. And we need to hear that because in that, we also see God's movement of his kingdom and his redeeming power throughout time. And so we started to say, all right, kind of a now what? Now what do we do now that we're connected to Christ, connected to his body? What is the call for us in our connection to this world? As we started talking about kingdom priorities, we're challenging our thoughts and the things that we hold dear, and what is it that we would actually give up what we might say is essential and we absolutely have to have for the kingdom of God. And God says, I know you need all those things, and I will give you those things, but first, focus on my kingdom and my righteousness. And so today, what is our relationship to the world? If you are in Christ and living in this world, how does that work and what does it look like? So Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14, Jesus says this right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. God, I come to you and I'm deeply humbled by these last few weeks of what we've looked at, the concepts, all of those things. Father, if we're really honest, we tend to be concerned more about ourselves than about your glory and your kingdom. So, Father, what is it that we would be light to the world? How does that work, even at times when, Father, it seems like we might not be hitting the mark, so to speak. So, Father, I pray that you would just expose those things. God, free us from a lot of the guilt that is associated with this kind of concept. Father, free us from that, but use us mightily that your glory might be known, that who you are might be known. Father, that you would use us to display who you are. Father, that's a crazy concept, one that's at times difficult for us to fathom. So, Father, I pray that you'd use us, use your word, display yourself to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With graduation season just coming through and the end of the year, it's kind of one of those times, that time of the year where people start taking stock, looking back. They reflect over the last 18 years. They remember some things. They laugh a lot. Tons of great memories, some regrets, some things we wish we had a do-over on, a lot of those kind of things. But as that's the time of year, it reminded me, I was driving a couple months ago as we were actually framing this series, and I was driving and was just sitting at a traffic light and just kind of one of those thoughts that kind of pop into your head, and I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm 40 years old. And what have I, really? That's all? I'm 40 years old, and what have I done in my life? You ever gotten that question or that type of thing? I'm X number of years into this world, and it feels like I've accomplished very little. Or you might ask the opposite side, I did that day, what have I not done? The things that were right in front of me that I just let pass by. Or you see, you can think of it from an investment standpoint. Oh, if I only put $25 a month when I was 20 years old, how much would I have now? You know, or the thing that's right in front of you, the conversation that you wish you would have had with, I'll stay away from that, and so it doesn't buzz. The conversation you wish you had with your kids, or the conversation wish you had with your spouse, the things that you wish you had done, and you stack all those up, you kind of find yourself reflecting and maybe even asking, how many days have I squandered? This is one of those concepts. This passage is one of those things that troubles me deeply. It's one of the things that God has put in front of me, and it's like, okay, have I squandered the opportunities that God has put in front of us? and so in Matthew chapter 5, here we are, that we are the light of the world. And so as we think about that concept, I would say that is at times empowering, but at times would wonder, have us wonder, are we squandering the days that God has put in front of us? And so the first thing we have to understand is that our light absolutely shines. Okay? That light is a common theme throughout the Bible. So when it says you are the light of the world, this is not a new concept in the scriptures. So you are the light of the world. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 9 and many other places. Isaiah chapter 9, the writer of Isaiah says this, and he's talking about the coming of Jesus. Chapter 9, verse 2, he says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. And so we get this concept of light all throughout the scriptures, and it's not just merely just a concept that Jesus talks about here. It's all throughout the scriptures, light shining in darkness. So what's the function of light? What is the function of light? Well, it helps people see. It exposes something. It makes things visible. It exposes darkness. It leads the way, and it shines. Okay, we got that. You know, light is to allow something that is not seen to be seen. It gives direction, it gives guidance, and so that's the function of light. But here's the thing, when it says that you are the light of the world, we have to understand something, that light does not originate with us. So you are the light of the world is not a pressure-packed command. You are the light of the world ought to be us looking somewhere else. Jesus is the light of the world. What does it say in John chapter 8, verse 12? It says this in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, again, Jesus spoke and said to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so who is the light, where does light originate from? Is it because you figured out a better way to do life and that's the light that you have to give to this world? No. The light that you have to give to anybody originates outside of you, and it originates at Jesus. Remember Isaiah 9, chapter 2, what we just saw, that the light will shine in the darkness? You might remember this verse just a couple verses later in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You hear this at Christmas all the time. Remember, light is shone on God's people in darkness. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So who is the promised light? Where does this light come from? It is God taking on human form. It is Jesus breaking into this world. That's where light originates. In John 1, 9, as we read in the first five verses in our call to worship, in John 1, 9, John says, the true light, which gives life to everyone, was coming into the world. This light originates outside of us. It originates with the person of Jesus. As he breaks into the world, light has dawned. And so since Jesus is the light of the world, what does that mean for us as his followers? He's the light of the world, therefore we will reflect his light. So the Holman commentary on Matthew said it this way, that the believer has no light inherent in himself. The believer's light is a reflected light. So it's not like Jesus is actually saying something untrue, that you are the light of the world. You absolutely are. It just doesn't come from you. You are reflecting the light of who Jesus is. Our light is not from us. Our light is from Jesus himself. He's the light of the world. He is our light, and we have only something to offer to the world because of him. So what's great is one commentator, Charles Price, has said it this way, that he said that he, Jesus, does not teach us how to shine as a technique. Like, okay, we're going to go to shine class and we're going to learn what that looks like. He doesn't give us a technique of shining, for he is himself the light. What does that mean? That means we are so freed up. We don't have to figure out how to be light of the world. It's not that we have to gain a better skill of being light. Knowing Jesus will lead you to being the light. So here's the onus. The onus is not on you. The onus is on Jesus. That he is the light and we reflect who he is. The primary thing to do in order to be light is to pursue Jesus. If you want the world to see the light of Christ, you know him better, and it will automatically reflect and radiate out of you. Run after him, read his word, wrestle with the things you don't understand, see his heart and his grace, and what you will see over and over and over is the songs that we've sang this morning. That you were once in darkness, and now you have come to understand and see the light and have become a light yourself. You are, if you're in Christ, the only reason you see as you do is that Jesus has come into your life. You've not figured it out. Jesus broke in and started exposing and showing and making things visible. Here's the great piece, as we talked about this morning, as we prayed for you all and God to work. We talked about that you are the light of the world. It's not that you have to go out of this place and figure out what it is to be light. You don't become light as you grow in Christ. You are the light. There is a declaration there. Because you know Christ, you are the light of the world. It's not something you go and figure out. Because this is what's great. As we know Christ, then we understand that light cannot be hidden. Did you catch that? You're the light of the world. And then Jesus kind of talks about two things that have no business being hidden or almost impossible to do so. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Just like we looked at with the kids, it's not like we light a light or light a lamp and we hide it or put it under something. No, we allow it to be seen. Jesus says this in other places in Luke chapter 11. What does he say in verse 33? He says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light." It's all over Scripture, yet many times God's people try to keep their heads down and stay out of things. Have you ever been guilty of that? You know, no one hides a lamp, no one hides a light, except the church in the United States. We live a politically correct Christianity. We think it's better to keep our faith to ourselves. We think it's loving to not make people feel uncomfortable with the topic of Jesus. We think we're loving people by doing that. At least that's what the culture that doesn't know Christ wants you to believe. Here's the thing. If you keep your faith to yourself, if you keep Jesus to yourself, and you don't want to allow the light of Christ to shine on you, you are not loving people. In reality, it's quite the opposite. Here's the point. In addition to the fact that we shouldn't hide our light, Jesus is saying that we can't hide our light. Think of a city on a hill. You know, can you really like conceal a city that's in an elevated place from where you are? Can that city be hidden? Of course not. Unless it's raining and cloud cover, that city is going to be seen. It's an impossibility to hide. You know, a light, you ever tried to really hide light? You know, you put it in something and it just it comes out. You know, light is very difficult to conceal. Translation, if you look up at that city, you're going to see it. If you have light, it will be seen. If Jesus lives in you, it is nearly impossible to keep your head down. Cannot be hidden. A city shouldn't, it's not that it shouldn't be hidden, it simply can't be hidden. Because if you know Christ, it kind of comes out everywhere. It shows up in your life all over the place. And here's the thing. There are certain things for us as God's people that we shouldn't be surprised over. Number one is that you will stick out in this world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Your light cannot be hidden. If you know Christ, you will look different to the world. If you want to have a keep your head down, stay out of things, and not be different in any way, Jesus is probably not your answer. Because he is very different than the darkness of this world. Light will shine. If you know Christ, your light will shine as well. So light shines. It's inevitable. But yet, our light shines before others. There's a context to what Jesus is talking about. And the context is not you and Jesus go be light together and you go hang out in a closet somewhere. It is you and Jesus be light and our light shining before the world. You are the light of the world. The world possesses no light in and of itself. Light must break into the world, i.e. the coming of Jesus, and light must be shown to the world, and that's where we come in. We get to show the world and introduce the world to Jesus. Light shines to those who do not yet have it. Okay? We read John 1:9 that Jesus says light has come into the world. Yet let's complete that reading, the next couple verses right after that. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come or was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So, what does it say? It's talking about two groups of people, actually. It's talking about Jesus being the creator of all things, world kind of in a global sense, tangible things and people, but yet the world, the people of the world, when he comes into it, did not recognize him, did not know him, did not receive him. Then he goes to his own people. The nation of Israel, the covenant people of God, and yet they still did not receive him. Here's the thing. The light, for us to be the light of the world, we have to understand that the world will not accept and does not know Jesus. They are in darkness. Jesus is light. Remember, think of the time when you're asleep, okay, and someone throws the light on. How do you respond? Okay, you kind of recoil, you squint, you bury your head under a blanket, you put your hands up as if that's going to help, you react against light, you push it away. Light hurts when you're in darkness. Translation, if the world is in darkness of not knowing Christ, the light of Jesus will hurt. And there will be a rejection, a recoiling, and that should not respond. That should not surprise us. There's always a context to think through. We're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. That this is the world in which we live. Yet, we're to be in the world and not of it. We absolutely should not be against the world. We should be for it. It's not as if God put us here to move against all the bad people in this world. God put us on this planet for his glory and for his kingdom to advance. What would it be that we would actually not live lives of isolation, but lives that move into the broken, dark things of this world, move into the things that need to be healing and actually bring the light of Christ there? Broken things, often we tend to avoid them, but a vision of God's kingdom frees us from avoidance to actually confronting and seeing those things renewed and restored. And you can talk about big cultural concepts, like cultural issues and all those things. You can talk about poverty, you can talk about this, or you can think about your neighbor next door or your friend that you just that you've kind of wanted to walk away from because brokenness is maybe a little bit too thick. Thinking through the light of the world expects light to have an effect. If you think about this, this is an incredibly optimistic and hopeful passage. You, if you know Christ, are the light of the world. The effect of light is that it exposes darkness and reveals and brings light to darkness, not just in a negative sense, but a good way. That this is an incredibly optimistic and hopeful thing. Let your light shine. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 60? It's this idea of optimism as it approaches the gospel. We often have this really negative view of the world, a negative view of how life is going, and you know, this world's going terribly, and can you believe what's going on in the world, and all these. What does God say to all that? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise," he's talking to his people, "shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness will cover the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Do you hear the optimism of the gospel? It's not, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's yes, darkness absolutely exists, but light has a deep effect. It is the light of Christ bringing light and healing to this world. It is hopeful. It's optimistic. And when it says we are the light of the world, that if you think about it, doesn't that sound somewhat arrogant? You're the light of the world. Our world says that's absolutely arrogant. Our world says that is, it rejects it. You know, you think you're better than me. But here's the thing, you are the light of the world is what we've just talked about. It takes great humility to get there in your heart. Because how do you have any light is that it is outside of you. You are resting on someone else for light. It's not that you have better knowledge than somebody, that you have figured life out. Your light is found outside of you. And it takes great humility to admit that. And then that humility is what we have to offer, not our humility, but that is how we approach the world, is that they who are everybody in this world seeking something outside of themselves to define them, something outside of themselves to satisfy and fulfill their heart, to satisfy their soul, it be an experience, a relationship, some sort of something in this world to satisfy them. And then we realize once we get those things, they never satisfy. Everybody's on a quest looking outside of themselves because we know what's inside can't satisfy. And so the humility is to point them to the one who actually can. That you're not the answer, Jesus is. The darkness of the world is not simply an opinion that isn't right. The darkness of the world is a rejection of who God is. Subtly, maybe overtly, but really it's taking God off his throne, or at least attempting to, and putting self on the throne. So the world defines life according to their own standards. The world defines life according to what makes them happy. So if it makes me happy, how bad can it be? That the person themselves becomes the one who determines what is good and what is not. Do you hear that? That the darkness is removing God from the throne and putting self there. That's the darkness. It's not necessarily the behaviors that are downstream of that. The darkness is a rejection of who God is. And so how do we respond to our world that says, whatever makes me happy, how could it be possibly bad? And especially this past week, if you haven't been living under a rock, you've heard of Caitlyn Jenner, that 1 million followers in 4 hours on Twitter, now standing at 2.4 million people are following Caitlyn Jenner's journey. When that first news story was happening, 11,000 mentions on Twitter per minute. So obviously something captured our country's attention and our culture's thought process. And basically what it was, in case you don't know, that Bruce Jenner declared himself to be a woman now named Caitlyn Jenner. How do we respond to that? What does it mean that we are the light of the world? First off, is the Christian church typically approaches behavior and tries to modify behavior. I'm not sure that should be the first thing that we respond to. Jesus changes behavior. Jesus changes things. Not even legislation, not even debates change behavior. Even though I think Scripture very clearly teaches that gender is a God-given part of creation. Very clearly think that. I don't think that's where we should go initially. That we should not be shocked when people who don't know Christ act like people that don't know Christ. That should not surprise us nor shock us. Instead of surprise, we should actually expect it. It's God's common grace that actually allows people to respond in a way that is according to his will. And think of the cultural response. You know, you kind of hear the cultural response. I listen to a lot of sports radio, and so I love when sports radio guys try to comment on real life. So you get like real life commentary that's like unfiltered, not well thought out. And so they're responding to all this stuff. And the most common thought was, whatever makes her happy, if it doesn't hurt anybody else, go for it. Okay, underneath all of that, what is our culture ultimately saying? Our culture is ultimately saying the person defines life. Our culture says that, and our culture wants you to believe that too. What does God say? What does knowing Christ say? That the answer of what life is found outside of you. You don't define life. Go after whatever makes you happy, makes you the center of decision making. God actually is saying something very different. So shining is not primarily about debating behavior with culture. Shining is reflecting Jesus and who he is. As people know Christ, they will know themselves as they were created by God. So what do you hear in this news story? You hear, hopefully your heart goes out to somebody. The church is so wrapped up in judging the world. What about heart going out to a person on a search for meaning, fulfillment, and peace in their life? Meaning, fulfillment, peace. I think Jesus has a lot to say about that. I think Jesus has a lot of grace towards somebody in that much turmoil to the lengths that they would go in their world. And I think he would say that Jenner won't find what he's looking for through any experience. And you won't either. Whatever experience you are chasing right now to become the very thing that fulfills your heart, you're not going to find the fulfillment you're after. Unless you are pursuing and chasing Jesus alone, that will not satisfy you. Your quest is very, very similar to Jenner's. The turmoil, the sadness, the searching to be at peace won't stop without knowing Jesus, because no other answer is big enough. No other experience is dynamic enough to let your heart rest. So God's people, let your light shine before men. It's not your light, meaning originating with you or coming from you, your light, meaning Jesus. I don't have my watch up here, so I have no idea how long this has taken. So, but yeah, okay, great. Light shines. Our light will shine before the world. And so really, it's now it's kind of this, all right, what do we do with this? How does it shine? Our light shines through our life. What does it say in back in Matthew chapter 5? Jesus says, in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that, oh, it must be really bad. Okay, I digress. If people aren't here for this, they're going to be like, what in the world is he even talking about when they hear the podcast? But anyway, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. so that they may see your good works. That this is the second part of action that comes in. What was first? The first action piece of being light was pursue Jesus. The second action piece is to actually live as Christ would in the world. That how you live actually matters. So often we talk about Christianity not being based on behaviors and morality and all those things. That is in the sense, of your behavior does not lead to you being accepted by God. God accepts you sheerly according to His grace and His grace alone. Behavior then becomes a response to God's grace. It's downstream of God's grace. Behavior matters, but God doesn't accept us because of it. And so in this case, our life reflects the character of God, the heart of God. And a righteous man makes God visible to the world. So what are the various realms of life that you live in? What would it look like? And it's appropriate here, as long as we know that our solutions are not the answer. It's appropriate to now ask, what realms of life do I live in? And what does, how could I be light in those places? Your place of work, in your family, the sports teams that you're involved with and your family's involved with, maybe entertainment. What are the various things you're involved with here at church? Discipleship relationships, your small group. What does it mean to be light? Some of it is just going to happen naturally. As I know Jesus, that light just reflects. But what is it for you to actually think through what would light look like? That our light shines through our life. And here's the thing, we're not asking this question for the first time. Clement of Alexandria was an old school church father, 100 AD. And this is what he wrote as he and others were kind of wrestling with this. It's kind of old language, but you'll get it. Neither let us desire to please one another only, i.e. the church, but also those men that are without, meaning outside, by our righteousness, that the name be not blasphemed by reason of us. Isn't that great? That the way that we live, that we would not stand in the way of actually people knowing Christ, because that's the fallout. That's the fallout of all of this, is as I first jumped into this, very familiar passage, I expected something. I live as a light for Jesus, and my living as a light glorifies God. Is that what Jesus said? It's actually not what Jesus said. Our light shines for the glory of God, but how it comes is in an interesting way. Second half of 16, go back to 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How does glory come to God? As you live as a light, people see that light. They, who's the they? Is the others in the world. They may see it and glorify God. It is a pass-through. It is from you living what God has called you to do. The world, people who don't know Christ, people who are in darkness, find themselves glorifying God. They come to know who He is. It's the same exact concept in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter says this, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Did you catch that? It's the same concept. It's how you live actually reflects before people the glory of God. That how you live actually reflects the heart of God and the character of God. That your life actually could have a redeeming effect. Not because you try hard, but because you are reflecting and radiating the light of who Jesus is. And here's where the hope is. The results are not on you. The results are the effect of light in this world. That Jesus, as the light, you are the light of the world. These things will occur. Light has a redeeming effect on darkness. Would you trust Jesus enough to take that step rather than seek to hide that light because it might be an awkward conversation or what, could you trust Jesus enough to actually restore broken things in this world, bring people to know him because you're willing to not try to hide it, but actually just let the light shine that is in you? It'd be an interesting thing to see in our world and in our community and in our church if we did. Let's pray.